Sam. I want to start tonight with some exercise, or an exercise. Not physical exercise, but a mental exercise. I hear a sigh of relief. I want you to visualize something for me. Can we do that? I want you to picture in your mind, close your eyes if it helps you. I want you to picture in your mind your family. Visualize your family. Now, picture your family doing what your family does when it's being family. When your family is most family, what is your family doing? Picture that in your mind. How many people are there in your picture of your family? Is it a couple? Is it a whole lot of people? Are they looking and feeling happy? Are they looking and feeling something else? Do you find it hard to even create that image in the first place of who your family is and what they do when they're being family? Families can be really different, can't they? My household and your household probably look quite different. I made myself do the same activity last night, and the first picture that came to mind was of my wife, Meryn, and I playing Monopoly at home. We recently bought Monopoly, and I think we've played it twice, and it was fun both times. But that was the first picture that came to my mind, and then my mind kind of went back in time a little bit, and I saw Christmas. So my parents and my sisters and Meryn and aunties and uncles and grandparents all there in my parents' lounge room, and music and food and passing presents around. That was a happy memory of my family when I pictured my family. Then I thought of something even older than that, of my dad and my mum, Lauren and Louise and me all sitting in the car going on a driving holiday. We didn't do holidays very often as a family, but when we did, it was always a very long drive. And you guys know what kids are like in cars on long drives. The question that we're asking tonight, and this is the question that we've been asking, well, that we are asking all of this series: how does the gospel empower everyday living? How does the gospel change work, family, money, and technology? How does the gospel change what I do when I do family? Now, I think this is actually a really exciting question for us. In our modern world, where we struggle to even define what family is, right? Society at the moment is kind of figuring out what words like family and marriage and gender and sexuality and adulthood, and in that context, it's so wonderful and it's so refreshing to have the wisdom of the Bible in relation to families. Here is wisdom and here is truth that does not change. And here is hope for families. Now, there's two reasons why I've started tonight by pointing out the differences in our families. The first is that here at this particular congregation, at Sunday Night Life, there is a very wide range of people in different family roles, right? Some of you are teenagers, some of you are adolescents, some of you are young adults, some of you are married, some of you are parents, some of you are grandparents. We've got the full spectrum here tonight. Your family will look very different to my family. So sometimes tonight, I might say something that may not sound like it applies directly to your situation, right? I might say something and you'll think, yeah, but Andrew, my family is different. That's great for those people, but it just doesn't apply to me. And to you, I want to say this just once now at the start, rather than having to say it as a disclaimer every other sentence. I know that your family is different, and I acknowledge that, and I haven't forgotten that. The thing is, if I tried to address every single family situation we have here, we'd be here all week. So that's the first reason I wanted to point that out. The second is, the things that we're talking about tonight aren't just for people in perfect families. The Bible's advice for family living and its example of families is not of ideal, perfect, shiny families. It's for people in all family situations. So the gospel does affect you and your family. And that's why tonight I want you to have in your mind that image, that picture of your own family. Keep that there as much as you can, and keep asking the question tonight, how does this work out in my situation? What would it look like if I applied this to my family situation? If we can do that, I think we'll be better for it. Here's the plan. Tonight, here's the plan. I've come up with a sentence. A sentence that I really hope we'll be able to take away tonight, and we'll sum up kind of everything that's being said tonight. Here it is up on the screen. This is our sentence for tonight, all right? Remember this. As a family member inspired by the love of Jesus, I want to help my household serve the Lord. As a family member inspired by the love of Jesus, I want to help my household serve the Lord. We're going to break this down, and I'm going to try to explain why I think this attitude is the right attitude for thinking about your family. And at the end of tonight, when it comes to kind of our seeing what this really looks like in practice, when the rubber hits the road, I'm actually going to turn my own advice into myself, and I've asked Paul, our service leader, to do a little interview with me tonight. So that's going to happen at the end of this sermon. And you'll get to see some of kind of the successes and failures that I've had as I've tried to be part of a family serving the Lord. Let's look at our Bibles. And we begin with Joshua. I'm going to pause and pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now as we examine your word, which you've graciously given to us, help us to see what it says to us about our own families. Help us to see how the love of Jesus changes the things we say and do to our families. And help us to see how we can help our families be households that serve the Lord. Amen. Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15 is classic Christian coffee mug material. Right? It's one of those verses that we love. We paint it on our walls. We buy little decorative plaques with photo holders to put inside our houses. We love putting this verse up in our homes. And I'm not trying to diss anyone who does this. I think good on you. If you're going to put part of Holy Scripture up in somewhere visible in your house, this is a fantastic verse to use. It's really cool that just 2 weeks ago, we were doing a series in the book of Deuteronomy. And you'll remember we saw Moses speaking to Israel. They're on the east side of the Jordan River, waiting to go into the promised land. And the book of Joshua is the very next part of the story. Joshua leads Israel into the promised land. He takes out some of the kings there. They go south and they knock out some more kings. And then they go up north and they take out the kings up there. And then eventually the promised land is Israel's. And they divide it up between the clans. And it says many years later, Joshua gives his farewell speech. And that's where this section that we've read tonight comes from. This famous verse is actually kind of funny, I think, if we read the whole thing. The bit we saw on the plaques is just the second half of the verse. But if we read all of verse 15, it says this. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says to the Israelite leaders around him, he says, you guys have a choice. You have a choice. You can serve the gods back in the land that you just left from, or you can serve the gods of the people from the land that we're in right now, and we can see how well that worked out for them. Or you can serve the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who brought us into this land in the first place. The choice is between two really dumb options and one really good option. It's a bit like a parent who tells their children what they're having for dinner that night. And the kids begin to sook, oh, I don't like that. Oh, we had that for dinner last night. And the parent turns to their child and says, here is your choice, children. If eating what you are served seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day what you will be served. You can go into the backyard and forage for some food and cook it yourself if you like, or you could eat the food that's given to you. Joshua is pointing out just how foolish they'd be to choose anything other than serving the Lord. And he does it with this courage, right? Joshua is courageous and bold in what he says. He says, I know this is wise, and I will do it whether the people around me do it or not. He says, my household is going to do this. Are you coming with us? Now, an interesting question that I kind of looked at this week is, what did it actually look like for Joshua's household to serve the Lord? If I asked Joshua the same question that I asked you at the start of this sermon, Joshua, what does it look like for your family to do family? I think the image we get from him, and I think the advice in the Old Testament would be a little different from our modern family. You see, the Israelite family, if they honestly served the Lord, was completely devoted to God. In the Old Testament, parents were to teach. We saw this in our Deuteronomy series. Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 to 9 says this about God's commands. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Parents were told to spend time with their family teaching them the truth about God. But it was way, way more than this. It wasn't just an instruction to teach. The wonderful thing about the cultural traditions of Israel and their society and the tabernacle and the temple and the sacrificial system is that when it's all done right, there is automatically within families a place of teaching and serving the Lord. Here's a list of things outlined in the Old Testament, and this is just some of the things that if the Levitical system was followed, these are things families did. Now imagine if families did these things year after year. Can we have next slide? Resting together one full day each week. Resting from harvest for a whole year once every 7 years. Preparing each meal thoughtfully. They didn't mix certain foods together, and some foods they didn't eat at all. Associating certain tastes with national history. When they ate the Passover meal, there were these bitter herbs that they consumed, and this actually reminded them of something. Traveling on holiday trips to Jerusalem, or before that, Shiloh for festivals, enjoying larger gatherings of relatives and their children, visiting national shrines such as Gilgal, which we read at the end of the book of Joshua, and singing the praises of God, the history of Israel, and their prayers. This way of life, this devotion to God, when it was done right, gave families daily, weekly, and even annual routines that helped their house serve the Lord. They spent time together. Children were involved in this. Parents had the important job of teaching and disciplining. And they shared special meals together. As I mentioned the Passover before, imagine a child watching their family prepare for the Passover. Seeing Dad go out and select a perfect lamb. Watching Mum get all the yeast in the house and throwing it out. Watching fathers on the street kill those lambs and then brushing the blood above their doors. Roasting the lamb with fire. This is just a part of what Passover was. And we know what kids would say in that situation. We know exactly what a really young child is going to say to their parents in that situation. Why? 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 Yeah, but why? Why do we do this, Daddy? Why did you throw out all the yeast, Mummy? This wasn't meaningless tradition. It helped families serve the Lord. The family was together and they served God together and they taught each other as they did it. Now this is nothing like what a lot of people who call themselves Christians today do, right? There are people today who call themselves Christians who will only talk about God or Jesus with their family at Christmas and Easter. Or there are people who will get dressed up and go to church on weekends, but there's no evidence in their household that they serve the Lord. That is not the kind of attitude that Joshua had in mind when he said his household will serve the Lord. Let's turn this onto ourselves now. We might read Joshua's statement, particularly if you're a younger person here tonight. You might read Joshua's statement and go, cool, good on you, Joshua, being the man of the house, taking responsibility, that's good for you. And, you know, one day, if I'm a parent, I might do the same. But right now, I'm young, I'm a teenager, or right now I'm not married, I'm the only person in my house. So I don't really decide if my household serves the Lord or not. The thing is, you do. Every single person in a household, including you, can either be someone who helps their house serve the Lord or someone who hinders and hurts and harms and makes it hard for your house to serve the Lord. Are you someone who helps? We go next slide, Jacob. Are you someone who helps or someone who hinders their family from serving the Lord? You may not have the main authority in your house. Maybe you do. You may not be the oldest. Maybe you are. But whoever you are, you can either be a person who helps or a person who makes it hard. When someone has an idea about something that your family could do together, do you get on board, or do you kind of resent it? When your family has special meals together, do you join the celebration, or do you act like you wish you were somewhere else? Did you enjoy reading the Bible with your parents as kids when the stories had pictures, but now it just seems like a chore? Do you ever pray with other people in your family? Do you want your family to have the kind of regular devotion to God that Israel's families were supposed to have? Do you help or do you hinder? Has anyone seen the movie, Are We There Yet? Hands up if you've seen this. Keep your hand up if you really like this movie and you think it's awesome. No, hands down. The tagline on the DVD cover is "The funniest family comedy since Home Alone." I think I can state as objective fact that this is one of the worst movies ever made. It is one of those movies that you watch and at the end you say, "Geez, there is an hour of my life I will never get back." This movie is terrible. Now, most of the plot of this movie is the lead male character driving around two young children in his car, and they are doing their best to destroy his car and make his life a living hell. And it's complicated because he's not actually their dad, he's interested in their mum, so he kind of wants to become their stepdad. But at the end of the movie, it's got a happy ending, and they invite him into the family, and it's awesome. But for most of the movie, these kids are rascals who really don't like their potential stepdad and are as disobedient as possible. When we turn to the New Testament, Jesus says some things about family that at face value can be a bit confusing. In Luke 14, Jesus says this: "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." That's a verse you don't find in kids' Bibles. Later in Luke, just a few chapters later, Jesus tells a man, "You should honor," as these are things you should do. And in Matthew, we see Jesus gets really angry at the Pharisees because they're encouraging people not to look after their parents. Which is it, Jesus? Love or hate my family? The point Jesus is making when he says we should come to him hating our family is that our first love must be him. Our love for Jesus must be far greater than our love for our family. Jesus does say that loving our family is important, but it is not the most important. He shows us that people who don't care at all about their families are failing to obey God's commands. And yet those who fail to love God, even if it's at the cost of family, will not enter the kingdom of God. The gospel shows us that there is something more important than our earthly families. We don't live for family, we live for God. That being said, the New Testament has a little more to say about households. I think one of the strongest verses that says we can't just neglect our families comes from the book of 1 Timothy. There Paul says this, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That is a heavy, heavy verse. Even though following Jesus comes first, it does not mean you can shun your family for no reason. Honoring your parents, loving your spouse, not frustrating your children, all these are incredibly important and valued things by Jesus. Now, we could look at places like Ephesians 5 or Colossians 3, where Paul talks about all the types of relationships that exist in families, but we're not going to go there now because we don't have time. Let's go back to our sentence again. I said, we help our families serve God as we are inspired by the love of Jesus. What did Jesus' love look like? Jesus was compassionate. Jesus showed forgiveness. Jesus loved those who hurt him. Jesus gave his life for people who did not yet love him. Jesus made the first move in reconciliation. Jesus set aside his pride and he humbled himself. Jesus thought hard about the words he spoke. Jesus was angry at injustice, but never let his temper control him. Jesus communicated with people who were unlovable. When I say inspired by the love of Jesus, that is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Christ's example of love. The heart of the gospel itself, guys, the heart of the gospel itself displays to us the way that we should treat people in our families. And this goes really deep, because the gospel is deep. The gospel is rich. How does the gospel change the way you act as a family member? How does it help your family serve the Lord? Here's some examples. The fact that you are saved by grace should change the way you speak to your parents or to your children or to your spouse. The example of Jesus' sacrifice should change the way that you plan your time with the people you love. The indestructible joy of Christ's victory should change your attitude when you sit down and eat dinner with your family. The suffering of Jesus on the cross should affect the way that your family deals with loss. The love shown in the Trinity should change your motivation to clean up after yourself at home. The point is, the love of Jesus, shown in the richness of the gospel, has everything to do with family relationships, right down to the smallest details. The love you've received from Jesus should be something that spills over into your family life. And I honestly think that if we take this attitude into our family interactions, if this is our attitude when we interact with our family, if we say, I want my family to serve the Lord, we will be people who massively help the health of our families. Let's make our attitude this. As a family member, inspired by the love of Jesus, I want to help my household serve the Lord. I think this applies to everyone here. No matter your age or your family situation, the only Christian in your family, I think this is a good attitude for you to have in your family interactions. For the person who is the only God-fearer in their household, if their honest goal when interacting with their family is to see their household serve the Lord, then their conversations are going to show the love of Jesus. Your giving and your service to those who may not show you the same courtesy will show the sacrifice of Jesus. Your conversations are going to move towards the truth of the gospel. This is a helpful attitude no matter our family situation. Family is not just the people we put up with. Family is the people we serve God with. Are you someone who helps your family to serve the Lord? Are you someone who reflects the love of Jesus in your words to family members? I think that the gospel is the greatest tool that any of us have for making families healthy in a world where relationships are so often broken. Let's pray.